I did not miss Toronto. I was in Miami, Florida for 1 week, and hoping that it will be warm there, that I brought my swim trunk so that I can go to the Miami beach. And then you go there, they have snow. So it's just like leaving Toronto, arriving in Toronto. Anyway, I make the best of what I have there in Miami. So the topic that we have for today is the power of agape love over negative attitudes. I want you to see the pictures of passengers at the airport, because the next slide, right there. There were four passengers at the airport waiting for the plane to arrive at the terminal. There was a storm and the plane was delayed several hours. One passenger moaned and complained and walked back and forth the whole way talking and whining at the circumstances that he is. The three other passengers, they did something. One pulled a Bible, one pulled something to read, and they enjoy their time, and they're just quiet, and they have peace in their hearts. Now, four people at the same place, the same situation, some doing exactly, they're doing exactly different activities while waiting for the plane to arrive. One, whining, very negative, the others, very positive. So you may not control the storm, but you can be in charge of how you respond to the situation. Next slide. Love, I would like to build on this message. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That is the power of God's love over negative attitudes. Most of us can't change what happened to us. All we can change is the way we respond to it. We can't be in charge of the happenings of life or what people say or how they say it or even to whom they say it. But we can be in charge of how we respond. The Bible says, love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. That is from the King James Version. Next slides, please. This is General Emilio Mola. Spanish War, 1936. Back in 1936, the Spanish War was almost over just outside Madrid. A rebel by the name of General Mola prepared to attack. Some asked him which of his four columns or four battalions would be the first to enter the city. To the inquirer's surprise, he replied, not any of the fourth battalion. I'm going to use the fifth. He only had four. General Mola was speaking for the most important force he knew that would help him win his battle. And that was the rebel sympathizers who are already in the city, a part of the community he was trying to defeat, already fighting for him behind the loyalist line. General Mola's remark coined the phrase the fifth column activity, and had become synonymous for traitorous forces. Next slide, please. During World War II, it was the 5th Battalion in Norway that brought about the country's collapse. Norway's leader, Vidkun Quisling, became a puppet premier of Adolf Hitler, and at the end of war, Norway was forced and was freed. Vidkun Quisling was put to death for treason. 5th Battalion, this might be the first time that you have heard the 5th Column or the 5th Battalion. But here's the connection. There is a 5th Battalion or the 5th Column in the Church of Jesus Christ. Satan has a 5th Battalion. And I am absolutely convinced that Satan's 5th Battalion are people of God who have not learned how to rejoice in the truth, but spent all of their time rejoicing in sin. Verse 6 says, agape love does not delight in evil. Next. That's it. Now, go back. Now, when the Bible says that love does not delight in evil, In Greek, it means that love does not take satisfaction from sin. Whether it is our sin or the sin of other people, doing wrong things is bad, and bragging about them is even worse. To rejoice in unrighteousness is to justify sin. It's making wrong appear to be right. Now, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it would be there, right there. This is what Isaiah wrote. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. There is much of that going on in our world today. You have known as much as I have that bad news travels quickly, that you can get more press coverage for something that is sick, sinful, or sordid than you could ever get for something that is beautiful and lovely. Men and women today in the media have come to understand that bad news is good news in the sense that it makes the headlines and provide for readership and listenership. But God's love is saddened when it hears of the defeat and tragedies in other people's lives. You know, it is easy to be glad if we are not careful at another person's misfortune, especially when their misfortune has a tendency to make us look better. But God says that as Christian people, we are never to rejoice in sin. We are reminded by the scriptures, by the scripture, not to rejoice in sin. Now, in 3 John, chapter 1, verse 4, it's only one chapter anyway, this is what John wrote. I have no greater joy on what? Than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Consider this question. What makes you happy? Do you rejoice when you hear that others are doing well, that they are walking with the Lord? Do you rejoice because you're a man or woman filled with love when you hear that the people of God are triumphing in their goals? Now, another passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says here, this is what Peter wrote, above all, love each other deeply because love, agape love, covers over a multitude of sin. Now, I've had people ask me about this verse. Pastor, is it possible for us to get credit against our sin because we are loving people? And I'm telling you that is not the meaning of this verse. What the verse means is this. When you love somebody, you cover their sins. You don't broadcast them. Let me give you a biblical example. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 to 23. Let me read it to you. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant the vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japhet took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backwards and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. Noah's sons coming upon the nakedness of their father. What Noah did was wrong. The sons, Shem and Japhet, were embarrassed because it was so wrong. Instead of broadcasting them that their father was drunk and naked, they put a covering behind them and backed up and covered their father because they loved him, and they did not. Because of that love, they covered the things that their father did. That's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He's telling us that if we are loving people, we will never find great joy in announcing the sins of others. But we will rejoice in the truth and in the good. Sometimes rejoicing in unrighteousness takes the form of actually hoping that someone will make a mistake or fall into sin. I have read stories of Christians who have wanted to get rid of their marriage partners. But because they didn't believe in remarriage unless the other partners was unfaithful, they actually hoped that their spouses would commit adultery so that they themselves could be scripturally free to remarry. They rejoice literally in the iniquity of their partners because it benefits them. That's sick. The Bible says love does not rejoice in sin, does not delight in sin. Now, my point number two. Rejoicing in sin is evil. Rejoicing in sin is evil because sin drives us away from God. It separates us from God. We cannot imagine taking delight in a tragedy that befalls a friend or loved one. Yet, when we delight in sin, we are delighting in the very thing that offends the heart of God. We are finding joy in something that was a part of nailing Jesus Christ to the cross. When we find within our hearts the excitement welling up when we hear of someone else's misfortune, or a former church member who lost his or her job, or someone was not able to get a promotion, and somehow we begin to feel good about their problems. We have become insensitive and have become part of delighting in sin to God. And sin is the very thing that brought him to the cross. Next slide, please. Rejoicing in sin is a subtle temptation. I have to be very careful when I say this. No Christian ever stands up in a church to say, "Yes, Pastor, that is one of my big problems. I rejoice in iniquity." No one would say that in our church. After all, you hate sin. You fight sin. You march against it. You give money to see it wiped out of this world. You are against pornography, abortion, and all of the other six sins of our culture. You don't rejoice in sin. Instead, as a Christian, you rejoiced in the truth. But I want to ask you, all of you, some questions that will reveal the subtlety of the sin of rejoicing in evil. Question number one. If you are a mediocre student, struggling to stay afloat in competitive classes, it is tempting to rejoice if others in your class receive C's when you manage a B. It is very easy to get excited when your own children get B's and their classmates or their cousins or the children of your neighbors get C's. And sometimes it wonders us whether our excitement are coming, where the excitements are coming from. Is it from B's or is it from C's? Question number two. If your business turns sour and your creditors are knocking at the door while your friends are doing splendidly, isn't it tempting to rejoice on the day their stock take a tumble? After all, why should they be better than you? Why shouldn't you rejoice if they get into some trouble? That seems to be all you have. And if you are honest, you can remember times when there was a warm feeling in your heart when you heard of somebody else's misfortune who was a competitor, somebody who failed, and because of their failure, puts you in a better position. Question number three. And this is for parents. If your children are rebelling while the children of your friends are making their parents proud, the news that your friend's successful child has gotten into a trouble, it makes you feel good. Though you know your friend is suffering. I don't know if you have had feelings like that. You see, rejoicing in evil is a subtle temptation. Agape love, always seek the best of the one loved. Next screen. Rejoicing in evil is a synonym for gossips. I like this one. One of the most common means of rejoicing in evil is, you name it, you got it, gossip. Gossip would only do little harm if they didn't have so many eager listeners. This sin, which many Christians treat lightly, is wicked not only because it uncaringly yields and reveals weaknesses and sins of others, but because the heart of gossip is rejoicing in evil. The essence of gossip, you see, is gloating over the sins and shortcomings of others. Now, Have you ever had anybody come up to you and whisper, Pastor Ben, have you heard? Let me tell you something. If I hear that, I know what's coming. It's not good. When somebody say that to me, have you heard? I know that it is a bad news. And how easy it is to pick up the phone and bad news travel quickly. If we could ever get the good news to travel as fast as the bad news, we have an evangelistic revolution. Gossip is the epitome of delighting in evil. Now, this time I would like to share something that happened to me 11 years ago. My eldest daughter, she was the one who sent me to school. I was able to finish a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering. And after I graduated, I migrated to Canada. When I was in the Philippines, 1999, she died. When I was in the Philippines mourning the death of my eldest sister, I was very active in the night and after night watch, serving those people who have stayed to comfort us in our mourning. Now, it was 4 consecutive nights that the mourning are scheduled in the Philippines. In the Philippines, the viewing is 24 hours a day, straight 4 days. In Canada, the funeral viewing would be 2 to 4, I mean from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and then there would be 7 to 9. That's the viewing. But in the Philippines, it's totally different. It's 4 days nonstop, and the people who stayed, you have to serve food. Now, for the first 3 nights, I served cookies, and then I brought some Tim Hortons too, and coffee, biscuits, juice, nuts, and crackers to the people who had stayed. On the 4th night, I could no longer do it. My body was starving for sleep, so I slept on the 4th night at the house of my sister, which is only like 10 minutes away from the funeral house. All of my relatives, absolutely, were looking for me in the funeral house. Okay, they were looking for me. My mom, my sister Trini, my brother Virgil, all my nephews, my nieces and friend. They are saying, "Where is Pastor Ben? How come he's not here?" Okay, they called home and asked, "Is Pastor Ben there?" One of the maid, because my sister is very rich, she's a multimillion dollar person, and she has so many maids. One of the maids said, "Yes, he is here. We have been trying to wake him up, but he said he needs few more hours of sleep, and he will be there soon." That's exactly what the maid said to whoever was the person on the other line. The guy who got the message, this is what the message he heard. Pastor Ben would not wake up, even though they have been trying to wake him up. He told this message to my brother Virgil. Virgil told it to my brother Bernie. Pastor Ben is not moving anymore and would not wake up, even though they've been trying to wake him up. And Bernie said it to my mom. And in Tagalog, this is what he said. "Mother, let's go quickly. Pastor Ben passed away. He got a heart attack." So wouldn't you know it, all of the people swarmed the house, focused, all of the people. And by the time they got to the house, I was already ready to go to the 4th night watch. Now, can you imagine the trauma that my relative was put into because of the wrong information? They haven't finished mourning the death of my sister, and now the news went away that I died. Bad news travel quickly. When you let gossip get away, you began to destroy that person. You say something, and it may even be true, but say it in the wrong context with the wrong innuendos or the wrong inflection in your voice, and you have worked to destroy that person. Where it goes, how it ends up being reported to others, What damage it does, because of the misinformation, you cannot control. But you are still responsible for it because you spoke evil and passed it along. Next, look at this verse in Ephesians. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Why? That it may benefit those who listen. It says literally, do not let words that destroy down come out of your mouth, but words that build up. Next one. This is my last point. Rejoicing in evil is a subjective choice. God given us a choice. Solomon, who penned the Proverbs of the Old Testament, writes strong and wise words concerning this subject. And I'd like to read them one by one. Number one. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Next one. When words are many, sin is not absent, meaning sin is present. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Next one. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. And then the last one. A gossip betrays the confidence. What was the warning now? So avoid a man who talks too much. In many passages, Solomon warned that gossip is bad, and it is absolutely ridiculous to associate with someone who is a gossiper. Now, there are some folks who seems to know the bad things about everyone. Be wary of that person. They are the kind of person who is always willing to listen to gossip. Collecting becomes a collecting place for all the bad news. You don't hear much good news from folks like that. They just seems to generate bad news. They like a magnet for all the bad things that are going on. If you want to know bad things, just call them up, and you got it. The Bible says it's dangerous to hang around with someone like that because they foul your spirit, they poison your heart, and also your mind. And before long, they'll have you believe things which are evil to be good. Gossip is rejoicing in evil. And it should have no part in the life of a loving Christian. John Wesley, in dealing with this kind of problems inside the church, John Wesley made a covenant with every man he worked within his ministry. And they all agreed, and they signed the covenant and hung it on their study wall so they would never forget it. And this is a sixfold covenant. This is the first three. John Wesley's sixfold covenant. We will not listen or willingly inquire after ill concerning one another. That, if we do hear any ill of each other, we will not be forward to believe it. That, as soon as possible, we will communicate what we hear by speaking or writing to the person concerned, not to the other person. That, until we have done this, we will not write or speak a syllable of it to any other person. That neither will we mention it after we have done this to any other person. And then lastly he said that we will not make any exceptions to any of these rules unless we think ourselves absolutely obliged in confidence. They hung that on their wall so that they would hear something, that if they would hear something evil about their brother in the ministry, they wouldn't accept it until they had checked it out. What a difference that would make in the body of Christ. How that would express our love, that we have chosen not to believe an evil report, but to rejoice always in the truth. And if you don't have any truth to rejoice about, you're not listening. Or perhaps you are not hanging around the right people. You can choose. God has given us a choice. You can choose what you're going to get excited about. Are you going to get excited about all the good things that God is doing in our center? The answer is yes. You have to make a choice. But also, there are things that you can see negative in our center. Do not rejoice in that things. Now, there was a man by the name of R.G. Letourneau. I think he is Canadian, but he is the builder of a huge earth-moving equipment. And then he had one huge piece of equipment, they call it the gym machine. That is the gym machine. He built it. I think it's a Canadian company. And then someone asked him, why do you call that big machine the G machine? And he replied, well, if you want to know the truth, the G stands for gossip. The machine has the same capabilities as gossip. It can move lots of dirt fast. I have one more screen and then I'm done. Next screen, please. This one. It's a Catholic bishop. Bishop John Baptist Massillon lived 1663 to 1742. I'm going to read an excerpt of what he wrote about. Near the end of the 16th century, a famous French preacher by the name of Bishop Massillon made a striking comment about the Apostle James' word regarding the importance of our tongue. This is what he wrote. He said, the tongue of a slanderer is a devouring fire which tarnishes whatever it touches, which exercises its fury on the good and on the evil, on the profane and on the sacred, which wherever it passes leaves only desolations and ruin. It digs even into the bowels of the earth and fixes itself on things most hidden, turns into vile asses what only a moment before had appeared to be to us so precious and brilliant. It disguised hatred which sheds the hidden venom of the heart, an unworthy duplicity with praises to the face, and then tears to pieces behind the back a shameful levity which often sacrifices both fortune and comforts to the imprudence of an amusing conversation. It is a deliberate barbarity which goes to pierce your absent brother, a scandal where you become a subject of shame and sin to those who listen to you, an injustice where you ravish from your brother what is dearest to him. It is a restless evil which disturbs the strictest friendship. It is the source of hatred and revenge, and everywhere is an enemy to peace. Comfort and Christian good breeding. It is an evil, and he said, tongue is a deadly poison. Rejoicing in iniquity is a sin against God. Rejoicing in iniquity is a subtle temptation. Rejoicing in iniquity is a synonym for gossip. Rejoicing in iniquity is a choice. And because God has given you a choice, you can choose to rejoice in the truth rather than in evil. Let's pray.